1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. Good morning, I'm Brady Safranik, and joining me now is Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
We appreciate you taking some time here today, and we're going to talk about a few different things. First on the list, we have to remind people of this all the time, is to leave the young, the baby wildlife, just leave them be.
Yes, I think folks see in the media this is a big thing, and like you said, it seems to happen every year. So we continue to try to remind folks this time of year to leave baby wildlife alone if you come across it. We are getting fairly regular calls here to the regional office about folks finding deer, fawns, elk calves, things like that. And so we want to remind folks that is actually natural. If you are out and about and you find a young calf or fawn that is hidden in some vegetation and off by itself with no mother around, that is normal, natural behavior. That is exactly what should happen. So fawns are very vulnerable. Calves are very vulnerable. And so they are intentionally left by their mothers on their own. This is to avoid attracting predators to the area. So the young stay very still, very quiet. They don't move around. This is an actual survival strategy. So when people come across a fawn like that, they, of course, look around. They don't see mom. They think, oh, it must have been orphaned or abandoned. And that is almost never the case. Even if you don't see her, likely a doe is nearby keeping an eye on the little one, and she does come back regularly to feed and look after the little one. But it really is safest if she stays away. So that is normal, natural behavior. So there's no need to touch the animal, move it, try to help it. It really is fine where it is, and you will do more harm than good by moving it. We get a lot of calls about birds as well. So especially owlets, baby owls, a lot of times they are out of the nest and on the ground, and people find them and think, you know, again, something needs to be done. But this is part of being a baby bird, is spending a little time on the ground, you know, before they're able to fly. They fall out of the nest. The mom and dad are nearby, again, still taking care of that little bird, even though it's on the ground. So nothing that needs to be done. Don't try to put it back in the nest. Don't do anything. Just leave it. It is being cared for, even though it's on the ground. This is a really good conversation to have with kids. Kids, of course, if they find a little baby chick or something like that, they do get concerned, right? That's not normal behavior you would expect from human parents. But, you know, it's good to visit with kids and say, hey, this is how birds or deer or elk raise their little ones. It's very different. One thing we like to tell folks, if kids want to help, especially if there's a little chick in the backyard or, you know, a nest of little rabbits or something like that that they find, they can do their part to help them. And, you know, if there's a dog or a cat in the home, keep the cat inside for a few days. Maybe take the dog out on a leash when it needs to go outside. And this is something the kids can do and feel like they are being helpful and doing something positive for that animal. So definitely things they can do, but bringing it inside or trying to put it in the nest or anything else like that really is detrimental to the animal.
Maybe they could chew up some worms and feed it to the baby bird.
Well, that's what mom and dad are doing.
Next on the list here this morning, application period for leftover licenses is open for a couple more days.
It is. So again, something we're getting quite a few calls about. The initial draw, of course, is over, and we're now into the leftover license draw. And it opened on the 19th and will be open through the 23rd. So you do have, like you said, a couple days. You can go online and view what is left over and see if any of those areas or license types are something you want to try to apply for. So best way to do this, if you go to our homepage, and at the very top, there's a big red button that says apply or buy. And when you click on that, that takes you to a page where there are two large columns. And this is where we've gotten a couple questions with some confusion. On the right-hand side in that column, there are two red buttons. One says purchase licenses and one says leftover license availability. So if you click on the leftover license availability, that will bring up a list statewide of what is left and available for you to apply for. And when you make a decision and you do want to apply for something, you actually need to look at the left-hand column where it says apply for licenses. So what we're seeing is folks are trying to click on purchase licenses, and of course you can't purchase them yet. You do still have to apply because this is a second draw. So just a little tidbit there on, you know, where to see the list versus where to go in and apply for them. So you do have until the 23rd. The only caution we like to give folks is, you know, some of these leftover licenses are in areas that are predominantly private land. Some are restricted to private land use only. So make sure you do your research, check out exactly what you're applying for, you know, what the restrictions are, if any, on some of these leftovers, and make sure that those are going to work for you. So, you know, if it is a private land only license or an area with difficult public access, just try to obtain landowner permission or find a place to hunt before you apply for the license, just to make sure you have somewhere to go if you do get that license. And, of course, we do have a great resource on our website, the Hunt Planner. If you go to our homepage, there's a bright orange button that says Hunting in Wyoming, and the Hunt Planner is the first thing that comes up. You can search every hunt area in the state and read about it in detail. It really is a great tool and should be really helpful for folks. And that is at wgfd.wyo.gov. Pretty easy to find and navigate to. Definitely worth spending some time doing some research there. After this second draw, so the draw results, I believe, of this second drawing will be posted July 6th, and then beginning on July 12th, any leftovers out of this second draw, along with over-the-counter license sales, general licenses, will be available at that time. So definitely take a look if there's something you're interested in. Apply for that here pretty quick in the next couple days.
And we've seen more and more boats out on local waterways, lakes, and such. And there's certain things people should probably have on their boats as far as safety on your watercraft goes.
Yeah, watercraft traffic has definitely picked up. Of course, we've had some rainy days, but as soon as the sun comes out, I expect folks will be pretty active. And you're right, every summer our game wardens do respond to disabled watercraft around the state, you know, assisting watercraft owners whose boat has somehow become disabled. And there's just a few things that they have suggested that would be beneficial for folks to be better prepared for an emergency. First off is, of course, read through the regulations. The watercraft regulations do specify, depending on the class or length of your watercraft, there are specific required safety equipment that you must have. So, you know, these are fairly obvious ones, like a properly fitting life jacket for every passenger on board. So if you have kids on board, make sure you have a life jacket that's going to fit them, plenty for adults, and make sure that all of those are going to fit properly for each of your passengers. A U.S. Coast Guard approved throwable flotation device, like a ring, something like that, is going to be required for most watercraft, a fire extinguisher, and a sound producing device. So make sure you read through the regulations, make sure you're carrying all of those things that are required. But above and beyond that, Just with the experience some of our wardens have had seeing folks who do unfortunately end up in an emergency situation, a few things that you might consider adding on to those required safety equipment items are a secondary sound-producing device, so an air horn, a whistle, something like that that's going to be easily accessible to alert folks, you know, that you need help. This is because if your watercraft loses power, the horn on the boat is not going to work. So something that's not going to rely on power to the watercraft will help you out a lot. A flashlight, more water, snacks, food than you think you need. You know, if for some reason you become disabled and spend several hours out on the boat, you want to make sure that you have plenty of food and water and a jacket in case you break down. Of course, it does get pretty chilly at night, so if you're on the water at night, just something to make you more comfortable in the cooler weather. Paddles. So these are not required for boat inspections, but they would certainly come in handy in, you know, unexpected situations if you needed to be able to get a little movement from your watercraft. Charge cell phones. Keep in mind you're not always going to have cell service, but make sure you have a fully charged battery on your cell phone when you head out, just in case you do need to call for emergency service. We actually did have a case where someone became disabled on the water right before dark, and they did have service. They were able to call and summon help, and help was able to head that way, but their cell phone battery died before they were able to give a very good location on where they were, and so it was well after midnight before they were found. And they were found safely, but certainly, you know, could have shortened that time frame quite a bit by being able to give a more detailed location. So make sure your cell phones are charged, but it's also best to tell a family member or friend a timeline of when you expect to return from the water. Of course, then you're not relying on technology at all. Someone will know when you are overdue, and they can give a call to send someone to come look for you. And if you are on the receiving end of that information and you do know that someone is overdue for their return, do call right away. Don't wait until dark. Don't give it a couple hours thinking you'll hear from them. Again, it's a lot easier to search for folks during daylight instead of the evening or nighttime hours, and we can just shorten that time that help gets to folks. And you can always call and reach a game warden 24 hours a day through the Stop Poaching Hotline at 877-WGFD-TIP. So 877-WGFD-TIP.
Okay, and one of those items you mentioned was paddles. And I have a small fishing boat, like a 14-footer, and I've got two paddles on it that don't take up much room because I've got those collapsible paddles, which the handle just collapses down to about nothing, and they're really easy to carry around in the boat. And if you ever have engine trouble, they'll be a godsend that you can actually move around if the current isn't too high.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's sort of like with hunting packs when you tell folks, you know, here's some things that you'll definitely need, but think about stuff that will really come in handy that, boy, if you ever get in that situation, you'll wish you had it. And like you said, those paddles, yeah, can take up very little space, but certainly come in handy when you need them.
Absolutely. Talking with Christina Schmidt, Public Information Specialist with Wyoming Game and Fish. Christina, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And everybody, keep your radio dials right here, KBBS.